My guest is Ralph Bakshi. He was a tough New York City street kid when his teachers encouraged him to draw to keep him out of trouble. He quickly became a star in the animation field. He worked at Terrytoons, and he owned his own animation studio by the time he was 29. He switched from making children's cartoons to animated features and made history in 1971 with Fritz the Cat, the first full-length X-rated adult cartoon. Heavy Traffic, Wizards, Coonskin, American Pop followed. 4 years ago, Bakshi closed his studio and began to paint. His first exhibit has just opened at the Philip Dash Gallery in Soho in New York City, and Bakshi's large abstract constructs are more than just paint on a blank canvas.
My whole art form seems to come from the refuse of what's around us, and then I could perform. And I use cement, tar, wood, nails, whatever could be found in the street, the things we built our cities from, and try to produce very formal designs from them. And then, of course, it's all painted at the end. But I like to work with very tough textures to produce beautiful pictures. Somehow it all started in Brownsville, but I can't figure out why.
Well, you know? Brownsville being Brooklyn.
It's not Texas, sweetheart.
No, no, not Texas at all. And Brooklyn also being the location of Coney Island, and the title of the series of the paintings is The Last Days of Coney Island.
You know, when I think of Coney Island, it enables me to produce these paintings. So I call them Last Days of Coney Island. They are not about Coney Island.
No, they're not. I mean, they're not. We're not seeing pictures of cyclones and you know, Astroland and Nathan's or any of the places that you associate. However, the colors that you use, it's carnival orange and carnival yellow and carnival green. So it is a little bit resonant.
Oh, absolutely. It's about the glitter and glamour of America. You know, again, the paintings represent who we used to be. The paintings are bits and pieces of our society I'm trying to reuse. The paintings are our factories closed down and our lives that are, you know, as we all get older. I'm also, you know, I'm 48 now. My God, you know, I don't know how I got here. So the paintings represent a sort of passage through time for me, which, of course, Coney Island has, for me, represents also a passage through time from great forward-looking kind of things to kind of disrepair.
Are you nervous at all about, say, the reaction of the art world?
Yeah.
You
yes.
are?
Yes.
Why?
I'm not sure why. I think, first of all, I respect the art world very much. I mean, I respect, you know, people like Picasso and Goya. You know, I love painters very much. In fact, a lot of painters have always gotten me. I've used painting images a lot in all my movies. I'm very close to painters. You know, no one wants to be a fool. No one wants to be, you know, so many of the Hollywood directors, actors have painted, like, you know, before. They paint, you know, vases and jars and, I mean, flowers and vases, and mm-hmm. they paint clowns' faces. You know, they're multi-talented people. I just didn't want, because I was a film director, what I was nervous about is I'd be thought on that level. Oh, cute, look how cute he paints. No. I wouldn't stop painting, though, if they thought I was a fool. Don't get me wrong. It would not stop me from painting.
No.
You know?
You've actually given up cartooning?
No.
No?
No. Yes, no. you know, animation, it's hard to explain. You know, the point is, I've always been an artist, and my first attempt naturally was in animation. Pictures like Fritz the Cat and Heavy Traffic and Coonskin allowed me to be an artist. So my other pictures did not allow me to be an artist. You know, if there's an idea worthy to do in animation that I feel is really worthy, then certainly I would do it without a drop of a hat. But being an artist and wanting to get certain ideas done, I don't have to ask anyone permission to do a painting. The problem with animation has always been, first of all, box office, which is the death of any director. If I wanted to do Last Exit to Brooklyn in animation and no one wanted to do it, then I'll paint it. You know what I'm saying? Better than sell out and do American Tail or The Care Bears Fifth Return, etc., etc. I mean, which I think is a disgusting form of animation and basically animated, generated just to sell dolls and toys. You know, I've been in these meetings when the first thing they talk about is how can you merchandise this, you know, this item you're animating, and I told them who has to merchandise it. Why can't I just make a film in the medium that I happen to be, you know, be working in, which is animation, without worrying about merchandising?
You had your own studio. Didn't that allow you the freedom to do what you wanted to do?
Of course not.
No.
No, but with you, don't you have your own home? With your own studio comes, first of all, 400 animators that think you're father, that you have to, you know, do job, you know, preserve their jobs. And they're nice guys. I love them. But in preserving their jobs, you have to sell something. And in selling something, you, whatever someone's going to say they're going to buy, so you automatically put yourself into an area of having to sell some piece of junk to maintain an overhead, which is rent and electricity, and 400 kids that you picked up along the way. The fact that the company grew so big was only because I did some very honest movies, maybe, not because I did Care Bears. And Care Bears, I'm using that as a metaphor. I've never seen them, but I'm sure they're cuddly teddy bears.
Mm. Was Heavy Traffic your movie about Michael Corleone, the 22-year-old? He was a cartoonist, and it was sort of his life on the streets. Was that an autobiographical movie?
Autobiographical to the sense of an artist interpreting the very many lives that I grew up with in Brownsville. It also represents, and here's the fine line, you know, it really represents personal feelings of mine and fears that are put together in a certain way through other people's lives, like Michael and Angie and Ida, you know, the people in the film. So in a sense, it's autobiographical by its input, but not necessarily by its facts.
By its facts.
Mm. Yeah.
There's a lot of interesting things that you did in that movie, one of which was the use of live action along with animation.
What's interesting about Traffic is the same form of collage I'm using in my paintings. It's the same sort of different combinations of materials to make up an image.
Did the X rating bother you?
No, not at all.
Not at all?
Not at all.
Well, it would mean that your movies wouldn't be seen by as many people as you might
have
liked.
That's right, yeah.
But that didn't bother you?
No, not at all. I had done my movie. See, the whole thing in my life is to try to do a few things that I want to do as an artist. The X rating didn't bother me at all. If someone wants to rate my life X, that's their business. But my movie was finished. Ha ha. I mean, I had done it. I had gotten paid for it. But I don't make films for anyone but myself. I am not Steven Spielberg or George Lucas or Walt Disney.
You were, when you were younger, at Terry Toon's studio.
I was really young.
Yeah, 21 something?
18, you were
the 18. You were the youngest animator. This is what you were being touted in research.
Yeah.
You worked on Heckle and Jekyll and
yes.
Mighty Mouse.
Yes.
What's your involvement with the new Mighty Mouse series?
Well, I was painting for 4 years, and I had closed my studio down 4 years ago, and CBS asked me to do 13 Mighty Mouse shorts. So I put together a young director team, and because what I would like to do is leave some directors. I'd like to train some animation directors, you know, to replace and kind of carry on whatever tradition I started, which is be yourself, not Bugs Bunny. And this allows me now to paint for another year and a half, you know, before I have to work again, just in case my paintings don't sell.
So what makes these Mighty Mouse cartoons correct as far as your own philosophy of animation goes?
Basically, they're nuts. I mean, for kids, this, you know, this is animation for kids, and the reason I did it was that I looked at Saturday Morning, you know, and the kind of pandering that, you know, everything was a toy to be sold as a toy, and everything was be very careful, don't react or overreact. And I really think that's terrible for kids. I think what's great about Mighty Mouse is that he's a little guy. He'll punch you in the mouth if he feels he's right. Mighty Mouse is motivated to do things, which I'm a great believer in. And I'm not saying the show's the greatest show in the world, but I love the mouse because to show kids that they can stand up for their rights.
Without using lasers and
absolutely.
You know, all that superhero stuff.
All that right. You know, he's also, I put him to work in a factory. I gave him a secret identity, and he works with his hands. He's on the assembly line, and there's a little orphan Scrappy who was looking for a father. You know, so I try to add what I felt a good 1942 radio show should be. And I want to put a little heart into this thing, and I needed the money, so I certainly did it. And we're finished, and I'm back in the studio painting again. So I love Mighty Mouse for that reason. Plus, you know, I'm getting older, and I started in the business working on Mighty Mouse. And when I needed some bread again, I went, he kind of saved. Mighty Mouse keeps saving me.
Ralph Bakshi, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for listening to all of this.
Animator and painter, Ralph Bakshi.